From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the first day of July 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll catch up on all the activities that took place in Osaka, Japan at the G20. President Trump making some announcements as it's related to trade with China. And we'll get some details from one of his economic advisors, Larry Kudlow. Along the way, we'll check in on the weather forecast with Mark Russo of Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, and on the cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, happy July 4th week to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Boy, it's here, and hat goes off for our flag and our country. God bless America, Todd.
You betcha. So this is one of those times of years, year when we can change direction, though it looks like we changed a little early unless we get a turnaround by the end of the week sometime, I suppose.
Well, yeah, we're looking at the full moon and the first day of summer. That fairly well capped it, and we've sort of been on the defensive since those two time windows. And seasonally, oftentimes when you run higher on too wet weather and you do get the crop in or you put the planters away, the market pauses and retreats some. And then, of course, the 4th of July holiday. It's not a complete three-day weekend, but it is a holiday event. Markets do close at 12 noon on Wednesday. No markets on Thursday. And the trade resumes on Friday morning at 8:30. And goes till 1:20 on Friday afternoon there. And I think the holiday weekend through here with the negative news and nothing real bullish right now, new bullish news is that we've seen the trade kind of go to the sidelines here, viewing that the news needs to turn positive here to give reason to come back in and try to pick a bottom here or try to catch a falling knife.
Well, the trade, and you have both had some time to digest Friday's USDA grain stocks and acreage numbers. The grain stocks, at least, were a little bit friendly to the market, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's what took the market quite a bit higher there. The black box computers read that as positive news. There wasn't a whole lot of for sale above the market. It was sharply higher. Then, of course, the next hot headline was the acreage number, and that's when all heck broke loose to the downside. That trade was unbelievable, 5 cent ticks, computer dominated. There's no way a human being could put orders in that fast. The market reacted, and now we're in a situation where we're subject to maybe some follow-through here. Oftentimes, whenever you have a dynamic move like that, those moves last anywhere from 2 to 3 days. Today is day two, maybe one more day, and hopefully we're where we are want to be. A lot of margin call liquidation, position squaring, and so forth. And it goes back to the KISS theory, keep it simple. And you got to have some staying power in this type of atmosphere. It goes back to an old story where I got in the business back in the early 80s. A guy was trading cattle. He bought a cattle contract. The cattle feed report was bearish. The market was limit down. He says, get me another one. Next day, the market opened limit down. He says, if they're going to play hardball, let's play hardball. Get me another one. Third day, it opened lower. He said, get me out. And no more he got out, the market turned around and went in his favor. So you got to have some staying power, guys.
Have some staying power. You and the bank together, I suppose. Hey, so I was thinking about what you just told me as it relates to the black box. Of course, at 11 o'clock on Friday morning when these were released from USDA, apparently the grain stocks hit just prior to the acreage numbers. And so it only saw the grain stocks report up 13, I think. But it didn't take it very long to turn around after it saw the acreage number, that 91.7 million acres. That was a big figure for corn. Remains that way. Do your farmers believe it?
No. They're in state denial. I'm staying in denial. But, however, it could have been bigger or larger if you're still looking at intentions at that time. you know, the clarification of what we were looking at was led to believe it was actual acres, but intentions were still high. And I think the producer was looking at farming for the insurance. You know, there was talk that prevent plant for corn pays much more for prevent plant on beans. However, you got to stick with your acreage history on that. Also, too, just to go for the revenue and get some corn in. So the intent was still relatively high. But it goes clear back 2 months ago when we started talking about this. You got to look at harvested acres from here on out. Yeah, they can have the planted acres up there, but the harvested acres is not going to, I don't think it's going to be there. And we're going to have a record percentage between planted and harvested acres. Then, too, the yield factor comes in. And so we're in a situation where there's still a market in front of us. The thing, though, too, is before the report, some analysts was looking at a situation on corn ending stocks as tight as 500 to 600 million bushels ending stocks. Then once the report comes out and they plugged in the planted acres we saw there on Friday, they've got their ending stocks as high as 2 billion bushels now. So some of these analysts feel that this corn was going to get planted and using those higher numbers and using the 166 bushel acre, and that's going to change as we move forward. And it might not take till the August report and when they resurvey these acres.
Do you expect the condition of the crop to be better this afternoon for both corn and soybeans?
Boy, that's a great question. Driving around the countryside, there's some fairly good-looking corn. It's only 6 inches high, knee high or thigh high, but it looks good. It's lush green. Then you don't drive too far, and it's really rough and uneven. I believe the conditions can improve 1 to 2%, but you're in this, I'm not an agronomist. The agronomist could probably visit with you a little bit more on this, but we're in the stage, and some of this, we get to the nitrogen, it naturally looks good for a while. So we'll see what develops here, but this crop's just now getting going. We've got a long growing season in front of us. And as long as we don't turn extremely hot and dry, it could look good here for a short period of time in most of the area, not everywhere. It's still rough in a lot of portions of the corn belt here. In fact, there is no corn or beans in some areas, particularly in the northeast central part of Illinois.
Yeah, so it's a tough time. The observers, I know, I've talked to at least a couple of them, and there are, what, 3,800 of them or something like that across the whole of the U.S., had a really tough time with trying to figure out what to do with planted acreage each and every week and how far along they were, and I don't think their job's going to get any easier as we go through the year. It won't be, I suppose, till we get to the silking that we have some numbers. We're thinking, well, so what?
Well, that's a key there, because when we start getting tassels and silks, if you compare it to past history, that might be the catalyst to wake some of the trade up that way. We're not going to make full maturity, until we get into mid or late October for some of this.
That may very well be the case. Hey, anything else on the livestock before I let you go?
Yeah, we're seeing a situation where hogs have hopefully found a little bit of a bottom here. They've been on a free fall on this Chinese news. We've been selling some pork to Asia in general, but just not large amounts. We saw the trade come in and kind of flip the spreads in through here, buying hogs, selling cattle. So looking for pork to have a recovery here as we move into mid-July.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world. In today's agricultural news, President Donald Trump has returned to the United States after outlining a series of concessions to restart trade negotiations with China. Mr. Trump detailed his meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping to the press gathered at the G20 meeting in Osaka, Japan.
Basically, we agreed today that we were going to continue the negotiation, which I ended a while back, and we're going to continue the negotiation. We agreed that I would not be putting tariffs on the $325 billion that I would have the ability to put on if I wanted, we're fairly advanced, depending on where you want to look at and where you want to start, pretty advanced. We discussed, we did discuss numerous other things. We mentioned Huawei. I said, we'll have to save that till the very end. We'll have to see. One of the things I will allow, however, is a lot of people are surprised. We send and we sell to Huawei a tremendous amount of product that goes into the various things that they make. And I said that that's okay, that we will keep selling that product. These are American companies, John, that make product. And that's very complex, by the way, highly scientific. And in some cases, we're the ones that do it, and we're the only ones that do it. We're the only ones with the technology. What we've done in Silicon Valley is incredible, actually. And nobody's been able to compete with it. And I've agreed, and pretty easily, I've agreed to allow them to continue to sell that product so American companies will continue. And they were having a problem. The companies were not exactly happy that they couldn't sell because they had nothing to do with whatever was potentially happening with respect to Huawei. So I did do that. We talked about education and students. Somebody was saying it was harder for Chinese students to come in, and that's something that if it were, if somebody viewed it that way, I don't. We want to have Chinese students come and use our great schools, our great universities. They've been great students and tremendous assets.
Again, in order to restart negotiations, the president says he will not levy additional tariffs, is allowing sales of some technology to the blacklisted for national security concerns Chinese company Huawei, and has come to some agreement on allowing Chinese students to continue their higher education in the United States. The president says China still wants to make a trade deal and that it will be buying farm products again very soon.
So we're making a deal with China, or we're attempting. And if we don't, we'll go back into, you know, we have a tremendous ripe field of tremendous money that would be coming into our country. But I have a feeling that over a period of time, and again, I'm not rushed, and I told him that I want to get the deal right. It's extremely, I wouldn't even say complicated, but very intricate. But in the meantime, I think our farmers are going to end up being the great beneficiary. And what I did with the farmers, because they did lose a certain amount of money, I went to Sonny Perdue, who's our Secretary of Agriculture. I said, Sonny, how much money in the best year did China spend on our farms, in our farms, buying? He said, the best year, about $16 billion. I said, okay. Well, we're taking in much more than that now every year in tariffs. And I took $16 billion out of those tariffs, and essentially out of those tariffs, and we're distributing it among farmers who have been hurt because they've been used as a pawn so that China could get a good deal.
Economic advisor to the president, Larry Kudlow, on Face the Nation Sunday morning, followed up on the idea that China would be making agricultural purchases.
We are hoping and expecting that China will engage in large-scale purchases of American farm products and farm services. As the talks continue, the talks may not be ending, the talks may not even be solved, but the president believes that China will begin to purchase American agriculture, and that's going to be a big boost to our farmers, and that would be a good faith show that these are serious talks and negotiations.
The official press releases from China did not mention agricultural purchases. Kudlow was asked how long the trade negotiations would take and how he expects farmers to endure a soybean market that could take years to recover.
With respect to the farmers, we are doing the best we can. We are providing short-term assistance to keep them going and try to fill the void until we can get better international markets. The farmers themselves, the farm groups, they've been great patriots, and we celebrate their support to make America's overall economy very, very strong. And let's see if the Chinese make good on this promise. That'll have a bearing. You know, the president said on tariffs, let me make this point. He said, no additional tariffs for now. So he's going good faith to see how these talks go, to see if China delivers on an early agriculture promise. Let's call it an early harvest. But that may be up for grabs. We will see. No one can predict with certainty.
On that note, Larry Kudlow, economic advisor to the president, is no longer willing to say the trade dispute with China can be settled.
Can I sit here and tell you this is all going to work out? No, we don't know that. The teams are going to start negotiating in earnest, Ambassador Lighthizer, Secretary Mnuchin, and others. But we don't know. This is just a new first step. I always think it's better to talk than not to talk. We have no assurances. And again, the president himself said several times, we want quality talks. There's no timeline here. The issue is quality, not speed. We will see if China delivers on some of these significant reforms.
Details of the ongoing trade negotiation schedule have yet to be released. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo is now here. He's with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Mark, thanks so much, and happy upcoming 4th of July to you.
Yeah, same to you, Todd. And looking at the weather forecast here, specifically for the 4th of July, there's good news and bad news. The bad news first, there does look to be a chance of some thunderstorms popping up, actually across much of Illinois and the Midwest, or central Midwest here, as we go through the holiday in the afternoon and evening hours. Again, it doesn't look like all day rains, but a little bit of unsettled conditions, actually not only on the 4th of July, but even lingering into the Friday and over the upcoming weekend as well.
Well, that seems like the kind of pattern that we're in at this point. We had a couple of pop-up showers here yesterday, and I'm wondering whether that will continue through the first half of this month.
Yeah, it looks to be the case here. I guess in general, again, from a macro perspective, the pattern here coming up still, looks to feature generally, normal rainfall in a few areas, a little bit above normal, but get still out of the pattern that features, widespread heavy rain, such as what we saw earlier in June. And then obviously that was the theme much of the spring. And then from a temperature perspective, still in a warmer bias pattern. Again, nothing extreme, but such as what we've seen here lately, expect high temperatures in the upper 80s, lower 90s, minimum temperatures in the low 70s. And as we go into next week, things cool a little bit, but again, no sign of any significant heat on the way.
Well, speaking of significant heat, last week in Europe, there were some really high temperatures. How did that turn out, and what does their forecast look like?
Well, the temperatures across Europe were extremely impressive, especially in countries like France that set all-time hottest temperatures ever observed, not only for the month of June, but for any time during the summer. Europe is one of those places where traditionally their hottest temperatures occur later in the summer, and some of their record heat occurs during late July and into August. This year is much different. They had a very strong ridge of high pressure develop over them and the right type of pattern to produce those very hot temperatures. And going forward here, the heat is in the process of ending across the region. So their record heat is over, and in fact, temperatures easing back to close to normal levels as we go through this first half of July.
Anything else around the planet we ought to discuss before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, we're seeing, again, an improving situation in India with their monsoon. Still some erratic nature of the monsoon, but for the main oilseed areas in central and northern India, it's an improving situation with rains finally commencing across the region. And the same is true in China, one dry pocket in the northern North China Plain that's also in the process of improving here in early July.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Now let's turn our attention to what's been happening in the cash grain market. Brian Stark is here. He is with the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Brian. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
So a couple of quick questions. As I was driving in today, and we're both here in Champaign County, I ran the route through the country on the way, and boy, it looks a lot better today than it did a week ago, and certainly than it did 3 weeks ago. However, it's still way behind, and I thought it was interesting. I saw at least two fields that have not been planted. So not everything, even in this part of the world, has been planted. How do you view it?
Same. I think the majority of our area in East Central Illinois got planted, but it's not without some fields that did not. I think, 90 to 95%, probably closer to 95%, got planted, and there's a small percentage that's not. And I think, obviously, everybody wants to talk about the acreage on Friday, and we have ad nauseum, and we'll just have to see how the government addresses that moving forward. But, you know, at the present time, I think we can take solace that in our area, things do look pretty good, although about a month behind schedule. So really, it's all about the growing season weather, and if we continue to get some heat and some rain to continue to push the crop along.
How did basis for corn in particular handle the break Friday and Monday?
You know, I think it's been pretty calm. I haven't seen it take another leg up with the break. I don't think it's weakening by any stretch of the imagination. And I think we can point to basis also telling a little bit of the crop story along the way, too. If we're able to maintain the strength we've seen the last 4 or 5 weeks moving forward and even get stronger, I think that'll be a good indicator as to how the trade feels, or at least the processor, about the size of the crop in their area. And I think basis will continue to remain firm, at least on the corn side here as we move forward.
Can I talk about elevator management for just a little bit with you? How do you expect to handle all the drying needs that may be around this fall?
You know, I think that's going to be a challenge. I mean, I've been around long enough to reference going back to 2009 when we had a real cool, wet summer, and obviously that was the main issue, dryer capacity, and it potentially could happen again. I think obviously we know it's going to be wet and have to prepare for it, but I think the difference might be the fact that we are a little spread out from a planting perspective. So we did get some corn planted in April, although it'll be a small percentage. There was some planted in May, and then obviously a significant portion planted in June. So that in itself may spread out harvest enough that we'll be able to handle some of the lack of natural drying down in the field if for some reason we don't have a late Indian summer, say in September. So it's at the forefront of our minds, and obviously everybody's going to have to prepare for a scenario like that. But the fact that harvest may be a little choppy might alleviate a little bit of that drying pressure, so to speak.
On the flip side, soybeans mostly just got planted in June. What problems do you think you'll face, or farmers will face, with that crop, or what do you think the condition of the crop is?
Beans are always been a tough animal, being around production agriculture for over 40 years. I think that you look out, and the old saying used to be, you know, if you get rain in August, you'll have a good bean crop and so forth. And obviously it's going to be much later than that. And to me, I think the one concern, at least in my mind, with the bean crop potential is going to be how long can we have the warm temperatures before we see the first meteorological frost around October 15th. Will we progress enough along the way? And I tend to think that, you know, you might have a bigger risk in an early frost hurting soybeans than maybe necessarily in corn. And that might be a short side statement, but today, with the majority of the bean crop, as you alluded to, getting planted in June, has the most risk. I think 80, 90 bushel beans is probably a far stretch again this year, but we'll have to see how much potential the crop has, depending on how long the growing season allows it to progress. But it's a tough one, and I think the risk could be, you know, a lot of them don't mature till late October, and as the calendar and the days get shorter, it's going to be very problematic potentially to get a large enough window if the month of November would turn rainy like we've seen the last couple of years to get the bean crop harvested.
Hey, thanks so much, Brian. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day, Todd.
You too. Brian Stark is with the Andersons. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.